You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Okay. Do we have it back? Do we have it?
Yeah.
All persons having business before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and before the County of Norfolk. Do I hear you? Your attendance, you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
22-117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. Can I have counsel identify themselves for the record?
Adam Lally for the Commonwealth. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Lally.
Good morning, Your Honor. Laura McLaughlin for the Commonwealth.
Good morning, Ms. McLaughlin.
Your Honor, Alan Jackson for Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning, Your Honor. Elizabeth Little also on behalf of Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Ms. Little.
And good morning, Your Honor. David Unetti for Karen Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Unetti. Good morning, Ms. Reed. Good morning, jurors. So I apologize for the delay this morning. What I'm going to start doing, we don't want to keep you folks waiting, and sometimes there's traffic or other reasons that we're delayed. Rather than reporting at 8:20 in the morning, I'm going to let you report at 8:30. Okay, just, we'd rather you have us waiting than we have you waiting. So I do have to ask you those three questions. Was everyone able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since you left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no. Okay, thank you very much. Could we have Sergeant Good, please?
Sir, can you raise your right hand one more time?
Yes.
You solemnly swear the evidence you give the court and jury the case now in hearing to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. All right. We all set?
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Good morning.
Sergeant, you are familiar with the key swipe system at the Canton Police Department?
Yes.
Could you explain to the jury how that works?
So police officers are issued a, looks like a credit card. I have it in my wallet. Anytime I enter or leave the police department, the exterior doors going out the back are, there's a key scan. You put up to it to unlock the door to come in. When you leave, you don't have to go in, but if you need to go into the booking area, you have to scan yourself in and out, and to get out of the sally ports, so you have to scan in and out.
Okay, and just trying to keep your voice up so that
yes,
these
sorry.
Last few jurors can hear you. How many officers on your department have those keys that can be swiped?
I would believe all of them.
Okay. And how many, or strike that. Do you know how this information is stored at the Kent Police Station?
I do not. I don't know the software, but I believe it's recorded anytime we would come and go.
Okay. And you say you believe that it's recorded at the time that the information is obtained. In other words, somebody key swipes in, and that information is then stored, you believe, at the Canton Police Station?
I don't know the software, so I wouldn't be able to give you an educated response to that.
Do you yourself, as a sergeant, have access to the key swipe data, or is that limited to certain officers at the department?
I don't believe I have access to that.
Never accessed it. Okay. Your Honor, we do have a stipulation between the parties, if the court will accept it, to introduce the key swipe records from January 29th of 2022.
Okay.
I would offer that as the next exhibit.
Any objection, Mr. Lally?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Are they subject to redactions?
Yes, we have redacted them. The court can certainly take a look to make sure that...
Have you all agreed to the redactions?
May we approach just as to that?
Yes.
Before you now took the stand today, did you go over your report?
My police report?
Yes.
Yes.
Were you looking for anything specifically?
No.
How long did you take to review that report between yesterday and today?
I scanned over it.
A few minutes?
Sure. Yes.
Have you spoken to anybody about your report?
No.
Nobody from the Canton Police?
No.
You recall that I had asked you about the fact that one name had not been completely spelled out in terms of first name, right?
Yes.
And you had, I believe, indicated that Sergeant Lank was the one that altered that or added that to the report.
Not altered. So he was the one that got those names. So when he entered his report, I believe he would enter those.
Okay. And so he entered that into your report, correct?
Anybody writes a supplemental, if you have the authorization, can enter who you speak to add those names. I only spoke to Ms. Roberts, Ms. Reed, and Ms. McCabe that morning.
Okay, but the report has your name on it, correct?
Yes.
Did you speak to anybody from the prosecution, either Mr. Lally or Ms. McLaughlin or anybody else from that office about this issue?
No.
You would agree with me that it is important when you're writing a police report to be transparent, correct?
Yes.
You want to be clear, correct?
Yes.
You do not want to mislead the reader into believing something that is not true, correct?
Yes.
All right. Can I see P and Q for identification, please? Thank you, sir. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm showing you first P for identification. You identified that yesterday, correct?
Yes.
We went over with the jury the five bits of information that are up at the top of the report, starting with the incident number, correct?
Yes.
You had indicated again, incident 22-87-OF?
Yes.
Call 22-449?
Yes.
Date and time reported January 29th of 22 at 6:08?
Yes.
And the report date and time was January 29th of 22 at 8:24 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Reporting officer, Sergeant Sean Good, correct?
Yes.
I'd like to show you now what has been marked Q for identification. And you can hang on to P if you like. With regard to those bits of information. Oh, first of all, let me have you identify Q for identification. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm reading Q.
Okay, what is Q for identification?
Exhibit Q.
Right. What is the actual document?
We call this a face sheet.
Okay. And with regard to P for identification, that's also a face sheet, correct?
Yes.
They appear to be nearly identical. Correct?
Correct, except I'm looking at the top right corner. One says 1/30/2022, and the next would be 10/25/2022.
That is the print date of the report, correct?
Okay. I don't know.
So regardless of when those two face sheets had been printed, ignore that. With regard to the information about the incident number and the date of the report and the date of the incident and the reporting officer, those appear to be identical, correct?
Correct.
Now, with regard to P for identification, which is the first report that you were shown, and you were shown that yesterday, and now you have it in front of you, there is a photo on the right side of that report, is there not?
There is.
Do you know what that photo is of?
It looks like the scene probably a couple days later when the snow had melted.
Okay. Does it look like a berm that was actually
exposed,
uncovered by the officers on scene the very first day?
Yes. Are we looking at Q?
No, at P.
P? Yes. P, yes. It looks like the berm. Correct.
And then with regard to Q for identification, which again is the face sheet with the identical information, is there a different photo?
Yes.
What does that photo appear to depict, if you know?
It looks like the same area that Mr. O'Keefe possibly was found, I believe.
All right. Those two documents, P for identification and Q for identification, those are actually your report, correct?
Correct. But can I explain?
Mr. Lally will, I'm sure, let you explain. At this point, I'm going to be asking the questions if
okay.
You don't mind. Your Honor, I would offer into evidence as full exhibits both P and Q for identification. Just the face sheet.
Is there an objection?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the objection sustained.
May we approach?
Okay. Can I see those, please?
Mr. Lally, I'm sorry, there's one other.
Questions you can ask while you wait for this.
I'm just getting the exhibit that I need, Your Honor. I appreciate it. While I'm waiting for that, may I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I've placed a photo before you, Sergeant Good. Do you recognize what that depicts?
Yes.
What does it depict?
I believe that's a photo of a piece of a taillight.
Okay. And when you say a photo of a piece of a taillight, you're obviously referring to a piece of a taillight allegedly found at 34 Fairview in Canton?
Yes.
Now, that photo is the photo that is included in Exhibit Q for identification that you previously saw, right? That's the second photo. Is it not?
On the second face sheet that he gave me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And I'm showing you, if I may approach again.
Yes.
What has already been marked Exhibit 20A. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's the berm from that morning.
Okay. And Exhibit 20A is the photo that was in the first version of your report, which was P for identification, correct?
Yes.
I can take those back from you, sir.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Just do it like that. Where's the Elmo?
Right here.
Can you set that up?
Publish the two photos. I'm sorry. With regard to the first photo that you identified, which was the piece of taillight that allegedly was found at 34 Fairview, that was a fair and accurate representation of that photo, correct?
Yes.
All right. May I offer that, Your Honor?
Okay, there's no objection, Mr. Lally.
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Is it a 42?
Way around. 22.
Okay, and I'm sorry, the exhibit number was?
42.
42, thank you. May I publish 20A and 42 separately for the jury, Your Honor?
Okay.
Okay. 20A is, you've testified, the photo of the berm that was included in the first version of your police report, which was P for identification, correct?
Yes.
All right. Let's put up 42, please. No. I'm sorry. Where is 42?
Right here.
I don't have it.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah.
No wonder. Thank you, Mr.
McDonald. Sure.
Okay. The exhibit sticker's upside down, but there we go. That is the photo of the piece of taillight allegedly found at 34 Fairview that you have identified as Exhibit 42, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, having seen those photos, one was included in P for identification, one was included in Q for identification, correct?
Yes.
Which you've previously identified as your reports. Or report, I should say.
Yes.
All right. Your Honor, I would offer the top portion of P and Q for identification as a full exhibit.
Okay. And there's an objection from the Commonwealth?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. It will come in when the jury actually gets it, we'll have it on the same 9x12 paper that everything else is.
Perfect.
And all exhibits go through Madam Court Reporter.
Oh, of course.
Becomes 43.
So, jurors, I'm going to send you out for 5 minutes, okay?
Sorry, you've closed your notebooks, leaving them on the seats. Gather all your other belongings and follow me. All rise, jury out. I'm just going to gather our.
May I see those, Madam Court Reporter, please? All right. So I thought you were going to cut them. Apparently, you probably don't have scissors. Let's get these so that they're acceptable to go to the jury. I mean, this just came in with the whole report on it.
I'm sorry?
This just came into evidence with the whole report, and that's not what you agreed to at sidebar.
Right. I mean, I guess we didn't have scissors, but what I was going to do, because it's folded, all I was going to show the jury was the part that got in.
But these are now in evidence.
Understand.
Okay, and that can't happen.
Understand.
So fix them. Do we have scissors, Mr. Clerk? Thank you.
Okay.
So why don't you fix them, run them through a copy machine.
Perfect.
All right, we'll take a 5-minute recess. And actually, this is probably a good time for me to say, you know, and it's not just the defense, it's not just the prosecution, but we're taking an awful lot of these jurors' times. We're taking days and weeks. Let's not squander it by, you know, repetitive evidence or taking time like this that we shouldn't need to take. Okay, let's move this case along. All right? All right, I'll be out in 5 minutes.
All right, please.
Thank you.
Court is back in session. You may be seated.
Your Honor, can I have P&Q marked as the next exhibits in the trial?
Okay. Thank you.
And with the court's permission, I'd like to display these one above the other.
Okay.
Okay. Sergeant Good, you have previously testified about the details in these reports. You would agree that each of these reflects your report. It says reporting officer Sergeant Sean Good, correct?
Yes.
Each of these is page one of your report, correct?
Yes.
You've previously testified that you call that the face sheet of the report, correct?
Yes.
Each of these has the identical incident number and call number, correct?
Yes.
The identical date and time reported, correct?
Yes.
The identical report date and time, correct?
Yes.
And of course, the identical officer.
Yes.
Other than the print date of the face sheet of your report, one appears to be in January, one appears to be in October, the major change is the photo that's included on the face sheet, correct?
Yes. Can I explain why?
So that second photo with the piece of tail light that is included on the first page of your report, that photo is not from January 29th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
You never took a photo of a piece of taillight on January 29th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
You never saw a piece of taillight at 34 Fairview on January 29th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
Did you personally switch the photo on the face sheet of your police report?
No.
Do you know who did?
So whoever updated the report, they're supplemental, you add photos.
But you, in answer to my question, do you know the specific person from your department who altered the photo on the face sheet of your report?
I didn't take the supplemental report, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who took the photo.
But given that this is your report, you're the reporting officer, you are responsible for the content of that report, are you not?
For my report, yes, not other officers' supplementals to an investigation.
All right, but this is your report. This is the face sheet for the reporting officer, Sergeant Sean Good, is it not?
Yes, on the face sheet.
All right. Now, would you agree with me that someone reading this report and seeing that the date and time of the report is listed as January 29th of 2022 at 8:24 a.m. That's when you wrote it, correct?
That's when I logged in, yes.
Somebody reading that and seeing a photo of a piece of taillight might believe that that photo is from the same date that you're writing the report, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You think it's misleading to include a photo on the face sheet of the report when the report is dated January 29th, 2022, and the photo is not from that day, it's from sometime later?
Objection.
Sustained.
Is there anything on what is now marked Exhibit 44 on that face sheet that indicates the date and time that that
photo on Exhibit 44 was taken?
No.
Is there anything on Exhibit 44, that face sheet of your report, that indicates that it applies to some supplemental report that was later filed?
No.
I may have a moment.
Yes.
Nothing further, thank you.
All right, please take the exhibit down. And we need that exhibit, Mr. Iannetti.
Oh, yes, of course. We have two others as well.
Okay, the exhibits are to remain up here with the clerk.
With the clerk?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Go right ahead, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Sergeant Good, turning back to some questions you were asked yesterday in regard to Christopher Albert and whether or not he was a town selectman, is that correct?
Yes.
And he is currently, is that correct?
Yes.
And was he on January 29th of 2022?
No.
So he was elected to the Board of Selectmen subsequent to this date of that you've been talking about, January 29th, 2022, correct?
Yes.
Now, the location where you were directed to where Mr. O'Keefe had been located just after 6 a.m., where was that in relation to the property line between 34 Fairview Road and the home next door?
If I had a guess, probably 10, 12 feet to the property line.
No, you were asked some questions about having been to that residence at 34 Fairview Road prior. And you indicated that you had been there years ago with Sergeant Lenk. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was that in regard to, sir?
It was a hit-and-run investigation.
And who, if anyone, so why were you at that residence at 34 Fairview Road?
So there was a call for a motor vehicle crash at the corner of Dedham and Washington Street. And the suspect vehicle had fled the scene. Officer Lank was my partner that night. He followed the oil spill of the vehicle down Dedham Street, up Cedar Crest, all the way down to the intersection of Cedar Crest to Fairview. And the oil spill actually drove into 34 Fairview, where we found the vehicle.
And who, if anyone, did you, through your investigation, who, if anyone, did you associate with operating that vehicle?
That'd be Tim Albert.
And was Mr. Timothy Albert, was he charged in reference to that incident?
Yes, he was.
And do you know approximately when that was?
It was in 2009. I don't know the exact date, but I know the year.
Now, as far as your report, you asked a number of questions about that. But I'm sorry, before I get to that, you had testified earlier that when you were leaving the scene, there was an amount of snow that had compiled on your windshield, correct?
Yes.
And after leaving the scene, what if anything happened with the snowfall sort of throughout the course of the day?
Our windshield was completely covered. We had to take time, clear off our windshields. It had snowed considerably.
And then following that, throughout sort of the course of the rest of the day in the afternoon, what, if anything, did you observe about the snowfall at that point?
It continually got worse.
Now, as far as your report is concerned, what you were shown and what you've seen, has there been any change as far as your narrative in reference to who you talked to, what they said, anything of that effect?
No.
You've been asked a bunch of questions about what you called a face sheet. Can you explain to the jury sort of what a face sheet is and sort of how that comes into being?
Easiest way, it's the top sheet of the report. It's not the actual meat of the report. It just gives you the date and time. Usually, if you can fit it on the front of the sheet, it would be the first party would be involved. If there was a suspect, defendant, And that's it. It would be their name, date of birth, social security number, all of their personal information.
So as far as you were saying, sort of the meat of the report, it has no real relation to that, correct?
Correct.
Now, you were handed two exhibits or two parts of a report, and you were told to ignore the date that they were printed, correct?
Correct.
And so what, if any, significance would the date that they were printed have in relation to what's on a patient?
So in this case, there was supplemental reports done after the 29th. So those reports were added to my initial report. You can add a supplemental narrative. So if that includes meeting new people, talking to other people, or taking photos of anything you found, you would add that to our report. And it would be documented in the supplemental.
And you had offered, I believe, a couple times to explain to the jury sort of why a photo might be different from one face sheet when it's printed versus a subsequent date when the face sheet is printed. Can you explain to the jury at this time sort of why would that be different?
So if when that face sheet was printed, if photo number one was the top photo and now there was a new photo added, that could be now the top photo on that face sheet when it was printed.
And how would that, be something that someone would physically go in and do, or is that something that sort of within the system automatically occurs? If you know.
I don't know how the system numbers the photos. So we added our photos on January 29th, and then any photos subsequent to that were added. I don't know how the software would put them 1 through 20 or how many there were.
Nothing further.
Okay.
If I might.
Very briefly.
You had just talked about how Tim Albert was charged as a result of the investigation that you did years ago, correct?
Yes.
The evidence in that case, you would agree with me, was strong against Tim Albert for that crime, was it not?
For leaving the scene, yes.
Sure. Sergeant Link actually was able to follow the trail of fluid from the accident scene right to 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
And Tim Albert admitted that he got nervous and left the scene, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, despite the fact that he was charged, are you aware that the case was just flat out dismissed upon restitution?
Objection, move to strike, Your Honor.
The objection sustained.
Nothing further.
Jurors, you're to disregard that.
All right, you're all set, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Who is your next witness, Mr. Lally?
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth will call Sergeant Michael Lank to the stand.
All right, so I, not yet. I'll see counsel at sidebar, please. I know it's important to the defendant's case. So, tell me exactly, based on the voir dire yesterday, exactly what you hope to get into.
Thank you, Your Honor. With regard to the voir dire yesterday, my intention is to closely mirror my questioning of Sergeant Lank with my questioning of him on voir dire. In other words, the fact of the fight, the fact of Chris Albert's involvement in the fight, the fact of his getting involved in the fight, called officers to assist him, the specifics of the allegations of the Lopolito brothers as to his conduct, what they alleged he did, the part that he took in the fight, their subsequent release from the scene, going back into the Canton Police Department to file or lodge a complaint, the fact that they were turned away for the complaint, there were subsequent police reports filed. And the local,
so I don't have those, right? You didn't send them to
we
us.
Did. We got those. We got those last
all right.
It's
too late for the police reports, but go ahead and finish what you've got.
Right. Just so the court knows, we, as the court requested, we provided those to the judicial assistant last night.
Who's the judicial assistant?
Yeah. Like, Mr.
Is this Lopolito's?
Lopolito. Yeah.
Go ahead after the police report.
So basically, Your Honor, and I don't have any interest in introducing the police reports. I just need the timing. In other words, there was the fight, the complaint, the police reports were filed after the complaint, and then they were charged after the police reports. And then the subsequent resolution of the matter. The
fact so that what do you mean by subsequent resolution of the
matter? They were adjudicated not guilty, and ultimately the subsequent witness intimidation request by Sergeant Lank was thrown out by the DA. With regard to what was brought up by Mr. Lally yesterday, I intend to include and elicit in my questioning of Sergeant Lank the issue concerning Tim Albert and the resolution of that issue.
Well, Mr. Iannetti just did that.
Well, he didn't because the court struck it.
Yeah. It should not have been done.
Well, Your Honor,
go ahead.
Respectfully, the Commonwealth left the jurors with a misimpression intentionally.
So
the last question was, and he was charged. That's true. He was charged. And then those charges were dismissed subsequent thereto.
Right, but this was specific. We should have, and it wasn't objected to, right? So Mr. Lally's question wasn't objected to. All right. So is that the end of what you intend to get into?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Lally, do you want to, you're objecting to all of this?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Do you want to be heard specifically on anything?
No, Your Honor.
All right, so what I'm going to allow you to get in is the relationship of Sergeant Lank with the Alberts. But keep in mind, Mr. Jackson, the Alberts are not all one entity. So you must do it individually, and simply because the witness had a relationship with Chris Albert doesn't mean that it has any bearing on favoritism or bias to Brian Albert or to Tim Albert. So you have to do them individually. I'll give you some leeway on the incident itself, but keep in mind the particulars of the fight isn't really what matters here. It's the fact of the fight and the intervening of Sergeant Lank on behalf of Chris Albert, as it's relevant to bias or favoritism. So if there are objections that you get beyond, you may be stopped. You can get when and where it happened, that it happened outside a bar where the witness had been drinking. He did not acknowledge your drinking buddy's comment, so you're not to specifically say that, where you just said you're going to outline what you did yesterday, and that this occurred in Canton. The role, if any, he had in handcuffing or having the Lopolitos put in custody, and the fact that Mark Lopolito went to the Canton Police Department to file a report. What you cannot get into is the mobile gas station incident, because I didn't hear anything yesterday that the conduct of Sergeant Lank had anything to do with the Alberts. I'm not convinced that it wasn't merely self-interest on his part. So that's out. That was 22 years ago. Nothing, so you're not getting into the federal investigation that he was sued. I'm not letting you get into the not guilty because it's speculative. Who knows why he was found not guilty, why they were found not guilty. You cannot get into that. There are all kinds of reasons people can be found not guilty. Whether I allow more depends on the testimony, the direct and the cross, so you are to go no further than that without leave of court. So the Commonwealth can then get into the animosity between the witness, Sergeant Lank, and Brian Albert because of the arrest of Tim Albert. But if, Mr. Lally, if you open the door to something further, I need to be seen at sidebar before anybody can come get into that. So, Mr. Jackson, you did this in 10 minutes yesterday. I don't expect you to take 2 hours to do this, okay? And just as an aside again, let's not waste the jury's time with repetitive testimony.
I don't intend to, Your Honor. I think I understand the court's the parameters. The one thing I didn't hear the court say, but I think it was implied, but I want to make sure I'm clear. I can get into the fact that there was a complaint sought, and then there were subsequent police reports filed.
Not the police
citation.
I didn't hear anything yesterday about the... Well, the police reports, I haven't seen them. So that the complaint was sought, and that subsequent to that, they were summoned and had to go to court.
And the dates of the police reports that were filed?
You can say the dates without saying the police reports. So he went into, they went into the station to file a complaint. They were told they couldn't file a complaint on those 2 days, right?
Correct.
And then the, so the witness did testify that he filed a report, but it was that he had told his sergeant the night before of this incident, and the sergeant said, you don't have to file a report until you come back or something like that.
So I'll just ask, were the reports dated after the initial complaint was requested?
I okay. Can that. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you all a 5 minute break, and then we have to get going.
All rise for the court, please.
Muted.
So, Mr. Jackson, you'll just alert me before you begin that line of questioning because I have an instruction.
Of course.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lally, your next witness, please.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth will call Sergeant Michael Lank to the stand.
Okay.
Be mindful of the step up and remain standing to be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear the evidence you did in the court and jury in the case now in here and to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Morning.
Down, pull the microphone right up.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name?
Michael Lank, L-A-N-K.
And how are you employed, sir?
I'm a lieutenant with the Canton Police.
And how long in total have you been a member of the Canton Police?
Over 24 years.
And how long have you held the rank of lieutenant with Canton Police?
It'll be 2 years in August.
Now, prior to, let me ask you first, with reference to your responsibilities as a lieutenant, if you could explain to the jury just in general terms, what are your duties and responsibilities as a lieutenant?
I oversee the gun licensing and patrol.
And prior to working as a lieutenant, what was your role with Canton Police before that?
I was a detective sergeant.
And how long were you a detective sergeant?
From September of 21 until August of 22.
And during that time frame as a detective sergeant, what were your duties and responsibilities with regard to the Canton Police at that point?
To oversee the detective bureau, ensure that all reports were issued to respective detectives and completed.
Now, you're also familiar with the role within the Canton Police of a sort of shift sergeant, is that correct?
Yes.
And if you could explain to the jury sort of what are the differences between what a shift sergeant does and what a detective sergeant does?
Shift sergeant's primary responsibility is to run the daily shift, give out sectors to each of the cars, and dispatch cruisers to appropriate areas, so forth.
And if I could turn your attention to the morning of January 29th, 2022. At some point after 6 a.m., did you receive a call in regard to a dispatch that your department had received?
Yes.
And who, if anyone, called you around that time?
Sergeant Sean Good.
Do you know approximately what time Sergeant Good called you?
I believe it was 6:08.
And with reference to that call, the initial call from Sergeant Good, what, if any, information did he relay to you at that time?
Sergeant Good stated that there was a gentleman found in the snow at 34 Fairview Road, and he was in very grave condition, and he brought it to my attention that he was also a Boston police officer.
And subsequent to that, through the course of your investigative work on this case, did you learn who that unresponsive male was?
Yes.
And who did you learn it?
John O'Keefe.
And upon receiving that call, where did you go?
I went to 34 Fairview Road.
And if you know, about what time would you estimate that you arrived in the area of 34 Fairview Road?
I live fairly close, so I was on scene by, I believe it was 6:24, 6:25.
And upon your arrival, who, if anyone else, from your department was there prior to you?
Officer Sarif, Officer Mullaney, and Sergeant Good.
And when you arrived, beyond sort of the other officers from your department, what, if any, other activity or what, if any, other persons did you observe on scene?
When I arrived, I observed that the ambulance was still there. There were multiple EMTs, and I observed some witnesses also.
And with respect to the ambulance, it's your understanding that Mr. O'Keefe was in that ambulance?
Yes.
And did you ever see Mr. O'Keefe on that one?
I did not.
And at some point, the other officers who preceded your arrival, did they direct you your attention to where Mr. O'Keefe was found when they first arrived?
They did.
And where was that sort of in relation to the property, if you recall?
If you're looking at 34 Fairview Road, it was on the left side of the property, about 8 feet from the road.
And in that sort of general area, what, if any, sort of landmarks or other sort of items in that area of the front yard did you observe?
I observed a flagpole. There was a fire hydrant and some brush area over there.
And upon your arrival on scene, who was the first person that you spoke to?
Sergeant Sean Good.
And you had some conversation with him, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then following talking to Sergeant Good, who, if anyone else, did you speak to on scene?
I spoke to Jennifer McCabe.
And where was it in relation to the scene that you first spoke to Jennifer McCabe?
I believe I spoke to Jennifer McCabe right in front of Mark Cruiser 683, which was assigned to Officer Sarif.
And then about how long a conversation was that initially with Ms. McCabe?
I would say probably 8 or 9 minutes.
And in addition to Ms. McCabe, what, if any, other sort of civilians did you observe in that area around that time?
I observed Kerry Roberts, and I don't recall seeing anybody else at the scene while I was focused on Ms. McCabe.
Now, with respect to Jennifer McCabe, I'll strike that. So, after you spoke with Ms. McCabe for 8 or 9 minutes, then who, if anyone else, did you speak to at that time?
So, after I spoke with Ms. McCabe, I believe I was able to then contact the CPAC unit.
And what is the CPAC unit?
CPAC unit is the investigative division for the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office.
Why did you contact them?
Because I was made aware at some point that it did not appear that Mr. O'Keefe was going to survive, and I wanted them to be aware of the situation.
And did they respond at that time?
No.
Now, with reference to... is that sort of a typical protocol, or what, if any, sort of typical protocol would you have responding to a scene of this nature?
Yes, any sort of scene where it appears that the person is not going to survive, we would contact State Police CPAC unit.
Okay, and why is that?
Because they investigate all deaths.
So they have jurisdiction over all unattended deaths, is that correct?
That's correct.
As well as homicides, things of that nature?
Correct.
Now, once you, do you recall who, if anyone, you spoke to on that first call or notification to CPAC?
It would have been just the dispatch center on the first call.
And what, if any, subsequent calls did you have with regard to CPAC while you were on scene that morning?
I got a return call from Trooper Michael Proctor.
And from your conversation with Trooper Proctor, what was your understanding as far as their response to the scene at that time?
So at that point in time, Trooper Proctor informed me that they would not be responding.
I don't know what that noise is, but if I could just ask you to repeat your last response, because frankly, I didn't.
Yes. In speaking to Trooper Proctor, he advised me at that point that they would not be responding.
And did he inform you as to why not at that time?
Objection.
Sustained.
Now, when you arrived on scene, what, if anything, did you note as far as the weather conditions?
The weather conditions were extremely poor. There were high winds, heavy snow, and freezing temperatures.
Now, you mentioned when you first arrived on scene, Mr. O'Keefe is in the back of that ambulance, is that correct?
That's correct.
And when was it that the ambulance left in relation to when you arrived?
Very, very shortly after I arrived, I would say within 5 minutes.
Now, as far as injuries to Mr. O'Keefe, who, if anyone, relayed any information in regard to that?
Sergeant Good advised me that...
Objection.
Sustained.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.